540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. At least two people have now died in Texas, where firefighters have been working around the clock to contain five raging wildfires. Darrell Wells has been helping neighbors keep flames away from their homes in French.
We were helping people put out fires, and they needed some shovels, and we provided shovels for them. And so and water hose and such.
CBS's Dave Malkoff has more on efforts there.
Officials are still going through the damage, trying to assess it all. There are firefighters from all across the state descending here to help out the locals. But there is a team of federal authorities who are going to come here tomorrow morning and take over operations for everybody.
The biggest fire is still the Smokehouse Creek fire that scorched more than a million acres. A process server and a police officer have now died in Independence, Missouri. KCTV's Zach Summers says they were trying to serve out an eviction notice today.
He was shot at, called for assistance. Independence police showed up, but he wasn't the only one to call out for help. Neighbors heard these shots too. They called police. These officers who responded, including Officer Cody Allen, were also shot.
The shooter is in custody. President Biden and former President Trump both hit the southern border today in Texas to address immigration issues. Here's CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
The president and the former president, who wants to replace him in the White House, played the blame game today along the U.S.-Mexico border.
This is a Biden invasion over the past 3 years.
President Biden said it was Donald Trump who urged House Republicans to kill the bill that would have beefed up security at the border.
It's time for the speakers and some of my Republican friends in Congress who are blocking this bill to show a little spine.
After a record number of illegal crossings last year, President Biden, who toured the border in Brownsville, Texas, is trying to show he's addressing an issue that more than 60% of voters call a very serious concern.
Federal prosecutors have requested a July 8th trial to try Trump on charges of taking and keeping classified documents after leaving office. Trump argues, though, there should not be a trial till after the election. And the obesity epidemic's getting worse. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
More than 1 billion people around the world were considered obese in 2022. According to new data from The Lancet, obesity rates among adults more than doubled from 1990 to 2022. And even worse were the numbers for children and adolescents, which quadrupled. At the same time, there were less underweight people reported, making obesity now the most common form of malnutrition in many countries.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Buggyhout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republicans who control the state's cash flow will not free up $125 million to fight PFAS pollution around Wisconsin. Governor Evers plans to veto a bill that includes that money, but offered to keep the money in to preserve the state's regulatory power. The Joint Finance Committee also removed an item Thursday for $15 million for healthcare services in and around Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls. Evers used his line item veto to expand the scope of that bill. More electric buses are on the road in Wisconsin. Susan Mudd is an advocate with the Environmental Law and Policy Center.
Riders on buses, including the drivers, will experience zero tailpipe emissions, which they now do because fumes unfortunately often get recirculated.
Mudd's group is asking utilities to help build charging stations for schools and bus companies. I'm Nate Wuggyhout, Civic Media News.
The Packers restructure a player's contract. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports reporting from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. The Packers here meeting with players' agents have made a deal with linebacker Preston Smith to pay him more with incentives, but save $2 million off their salary cap. What other changes on defense? I spoke to Packers GM Brian Gutekunst.
Not a ton. You know, I think, you know, this league's a 4-2-5 nickel league, but those conversations will be had over the next few weeks.
NBA, the Bucks in Charlotte to play the Hornets again. Milwaukee looking to go 4-0 after the All-Star break. Doc Rivers says they're doing better each day defensively. Baseball, the Brewers with a 6-1 loss to the Cubs, but the crew auditioned 10 different pitchers, including J.J. Bukauskas, who struck out all three batters he faced. He's only given up one hit in camp so far. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
He's throwing the ball good. I remember him throwing the ball good last year at the end. He'll be in the major leagues this year at some point.
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, a clear sky with a low in the low 30s. Sunny and warmer for tomorrow. The wind picks up a little bit. A high right around 50 degrees. And continued warming into the weekend. Mostly sunny and in the mid-50s on Saturday, and more sun around Sunday, low 60s and windy. Currently, it's 37.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who gives edible undies as gifts just because they taste good, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Great to have you with me. On this Thursday night, leap day. Folks, a year ago, none of this even would have been happening because this day did not exist. And I don't know if you people appreciate the magnitude of the leap day. It's glorious. And we're having fun here at Nightlight. My next guest, I'm very excited to introduce this next guest. As I've said before on the show, the first part of my childhood was spent on the northwest side of Chicago in the city, off the Kennedy Expressway in an area called Jefferson Portage Park. And the Farina family also lived in that neighborhood. I went to school with Mike Farina. There was another son named Dennis Farina, who was a couple years older than me. And Joe Farina was the younger brother. Their dad was Dennis Farina, the actor, who at the time when I was living in the neighborhood was just a Chicago cop, not just a Chicago cop, a Chicago cop, one of the city's finest, and studying acting at night. And it is his birthday today. He passed away in 2013, but I thought how fun it would be to have Joe Farina, who followed in his father's footsteps in acting, on the show to discuss his dad and his own career. And I'm happy to welcome Joe to Nightlight now. Hey, Joe.
Oh, my God. Hey, Pete. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
It's a pleasure connecting with you. How are you, buddy?
Likewise. It's funny, Joe. On this show, I've only been doing it about 3 months. I have had people on the show that I haven't seen in 10 years that are very dear friends. You, I haven't seen in like 35 years. So it's interesting to catch up on the radio. Not that we were tight, but we do have that connection that is the northwest side of Chicago.
Oh yeah. No, absolutely. And I remember going to those T-ball games when you and my brothers used to play on the same teams. I was just a little kid. And I told my brother Mike tonight that I was going to be on your show. And
oh, funny.
He said to say hello. He was really, really excited. You know, Mike and I, he lives in Florida with his wife, Michelle. And Michael and I, you know, we stay in touch. We talk to each other, you know, once, twice a month. We text each other all the time. I saw him a couple months ago, so he's doing really well.
That's so great. And I got to tell you, Joe, it was a thrill for me. My dad was the coach, and I think your dad was the assistant coach in T-ball, and Mike and I were on the team, and I remember your dad coaching third base, and the first time I saw him on screen, I was like, yeah, that's Dennis Farina. Wow, that was my T-ball coach.
Well,
and for you, it must have been crazy, you know.
Yeah, I mean, to go from, my dad coaching third base, oh, boy. You know,
and T-ball, yeah.
Dangerous territory right there. You know, I know he could patrol the streets. I don't know how he was patrolling the diamond there. But
he struggled. I'm not going to lie. He struggled.
It's a great memory.
Yeah, it is.
A great memory.
Hey, before we talk about your dad, you're an actor in your own right. You were in a film I really enjoyed called The Promotion. It's just a nice film that I kind of found one day, shot in 2008. John C. Reilly was in it. And how was that experience, shooting a film in your hometown like that?
It was terrific. It was terrific. And I thank you for remembering that. John, I got to tell you, it was in my acting career, it was one of the best experiences of my life. And I'll tell you why, because, you know, Sean William Scott was great, but John C. Reilly was absolutely fantastic. I mean, he was just a great guy to work with, down to earth. He invited me to come and sit next to him in his chair, in between scenes, and it was absolutely wonderful. And he's one of my favorite actors, and the fact that he's from Chicago makes it even better. But he was just so awesome to work with. One of the best experiences of my life.
That's so great.
And it was great.
Those of you listening, I recommend it. It's just I love simple plots in films. It was about these two guys both bucking for promotion at a grocery store, Sean William Scott and John C. Reilly. They were both going for the management position, and they had this rivalry. Some very funny moments, also some very sweet moments. You were also, Joe, in a movie called Chasing Robert. That was, I did not see the film. My dear friend Richard Jenny, who is no longer with us, was in the film. You were surrounded by comedians in that film. What was that like?
It was terrific. It was terrific. I appreciate you remembering that. It was a lot of fun. I shot my scenes in Chicago, and it was written and directed by Len Ostrovich, and it's probably one of the funniest movies that people will never see, because I don't know what happened with distribution. I was able to see it at a couple of premieres, and as a matter of fact, my dad went to one of these premieres in Chicago. It was really a lot of fun, but it was a funny movie. A lot of sensitive topics. I don't know, but it was a great experience and a very, very funny movie. But I don't know what happened with distribution rights. You know, sometimes in the movie business, that happens. But all in all, it was wonderful. As a matter of fact, I have the poster hanging up in my loft at my house.
Oh, great!
So yeah, and my kids are like, "Oh, that's cool, Dad. That's your name." Yeah, you know. So pretty awesome.
That's excellent. So let's turn our attention to your dad. You know, it's funny because, do you remember those days growing up? I mean, there must have been a time when he wasn't around a lot, just because he was patrolling the streets and then doing theater at night. What do you remember about that? And what do you remember about seeing him on screen for the first time?
Well, there's a couple ways I can answer that. Let me preface this by saying that my father had no intentions or aspirations to be an actor. You know, that was not planned.
Really?
No, not at all. He was so content on being a policeman, and he met the right people at the right time. And for me, what I remember most is when my parents were together and growing up in Chicago on the Northwest Side, Portage Park. You know, my mom and dad were still together. Eventually, my mom and dad were separated and then got divorced. It was kind of a crazy time during those times. And at that time, though, my father lucked upon having some nice scenes in a movie called Thief, directed by Michael Mann, another Chicagoan, and a couple of acquaintances of his from the police department were connected with that movie. And Michael Mann asked my dad to, if he wanted to, be in the movie. My dad said, sure, just to earn a couple of extra bucks. And then next thing you know, my father was an understudy for a play called A Prayer for My Daughter, at the Steppenwolf Theater, directed by John Malkovich. My dad was
the founder. Oh, my gosh.
And then one of the leads, for some reason, couldn't do the play anymore. So my dad came on board and did the play. The play also starred Terry Kinney, Jeff Perry, John Mahoney. For those young Sheldon fans out there, Zoe Perry, that is Jeff Perry's daughter. And it was wonderful. I was there. You know, my dad was not living at home. My parents were divorced, but I the time I spent with my father during the time was when he was balancing being a police detective and getting involved with acting. And it was quite cool, quite remarkable, but at the same time, it was nobody expected it,
yeah.
Not even him. And next thing you know, in 1986, he's the star of a network TV show for 3 years. So
Crime Story.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yes, Crime Story.
That must have been surreal. It's funny, Joe, our question tonight that we put out there every night is, who is someone that is equally good playing a good guy and a bad guy? And I it didn't even occur to me until halfway through the show that your dad falls into that role. He was the bad guy in Midnight Run. He was a good guy in Manhunter and Crime Story. So, you know, versatile too. And I hear his voice in yours, Joe. You have a little bit of that Chicago accent. That's great.
Oh, I do. Yeah. people tell me all the time that I sound a lot like him. And with the exception of the gray and blonde hair, that I look quite a lot, quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like him.
No, I totally see it.
Yeah. And I have to agree about, his work. My dad was equally impressive playing the bad guy and the good guy, and he could play drama incredible, and he can also do comedy incredibly as well.
That's so absolutely great. I have to tell you a great moment for me. I made an independent film years ago, and we shot part of it at the Improv in Hollywood, and your dad was, I guess, a friend of Bud Friedman's, which I didn't know, but I went in there and he was having dinner, because a lot of people would just hang out there and have dinner. And I went over and I said, I'm going to say hi to my former Little League coach. And he looks up at me and he goes, "Your dad was the attorney, right?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, and then he just goes, "Pete, how are you?" And we talked for a few minutes. It was just great. He's just a great guy. And thanks for jumping on tonight with us, Joe. It's so great. And I wish you continued success. Don't be a stranger. Let us know what you got going on. All right.
Absolutely. And if I may, Pete, I just want to say hello to my beautiful wife, Heather, and our beautiful kids, Olivia and Wyatt, who are listening right now. And I appreciate you having me on. It's great to connect and talk about some incredible memories. I appreciate the time, buddy.
Could not agree more. And give that family a big hug. And thanks so much again, Joe. Much appreciated.
All right. Honor and a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Likewise, buddy. That's Joe Farina, a Chicago actor and son of another Chicago actor, Dennis Farina. It's his birthday. It's Dennis's birthday today. He passed away in 2013, but very talented family, the Farinas. Coming up in just a few minutes, Ron Books will be here. He is the VP of the Wisconsin Area Music Industry. We started with reading. Now we got to acting, and music is coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
He's trying to tell me something, but we'll have to stop thinking about it. I don't know, I doubt it. Subterranean by design. I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess, who often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts, assuming that there are some out there. They're probably alone, solitaire. I can remember when I caught up with a pastime intimate friend. She said, but you're probably gonna say I'm...
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool, and you could say one cue-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue-maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? The answer coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has four of the top five cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame, making this a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to Nightlife. What actor or actress is equally as good playing hero or villain? That is tonight's question. And you can still get in on the fun at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Pardon me. We just had the son of one of those actors who falls into that category. Joe Farina was on. I think Dennis definitely qualifies for that. And then Conrad's dad had to clarify. No, he said also regarding Fred McMurray, the Caine Mutiny to the Shaggy Dog. Yeah, Fred McMurray. Pardon me. It's funny. I only think of him as the guy on My Three Sons, but I did see Double Indemnity years ago and the Caine Mutiny. I don't think I ever saw the Shaggy Dog. So great text as usual. And Conrad, what else? We were going to play something. It was Michael Bolton's birthday the other day.
Yeah.
And we had kind of a unique way of celebrating it, I thought. I don't think we did it justice, though. You get a phone call, Conrad?
Yeah.
Conrad gets all his personal calls here during the show. You can answer it. You look like he didn't know what he should do if he should answer the phone. I don't know what is happening to me. And we played some clips from Midnight Run, too. So far, we've got Willem Dafoe, Dennis Farina, Gene Hackman, Elizabeth Olsen, Fred McMurray, Kathy Bates. Those are all great answers to our question of who can play villain and who can play a hero equally well. And I think I got this question. I think it was a Civic Media person that gave me this question. I think it was Kirk Casper, but I can't remember. But we are going to pull up a clip as soon as Conrad is done talking to his girlfriend on the phone. From Michael Bolton. I'm going to introduce our guest a little early, too, because he is in the music business. He is the vice president of the Wisconsin area music industry, also known as WAMI.
That's correct.
Ron Books is here. Hey, Ron.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good doing great. You. Oh, you know, you weren't scheduled to be on till after 8:30, but I'm talking about Michael Bolton. And I know you're a musician. And he's probably high up there on your list. No?
Well, I don't know.
No opinion either.
No opinion.
He's a guy who can play good and bad because he's got some rabid fans.
Oh, yeah.
But some people who don't like him either. So
he was awesome on Two and a Half Men.
Was he on that show?
Yeah, he was.
Like, as just a guest star one show or like recurring?
I think
or?
He was a guest star on like two of them.
No kidding.
Where one of them hired him to so he could propose to his girlfriend. And
oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I will say he does have a sense of humor about himself.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, by the way,
did you know that Fred McMurray is from Wisconsin?
You know what? I think I did know that. We just did a show a couple weeks ago. Where is he from, though?
Beaver Dam.
Beaver Dam. Does he still have a place there?
No.
No.
I'm sure. He's not with us anymore.
I'm sure he's deceased, right? He'd be 120 probably.
He's long gone.
Let's see how old Fred McMurray is. I'm doing the Scottish spelling. He's probably Irish. There he is, Fred McMurray. We got a call. Okay, go ahead, Conrad. Put him through.
This is Cindy from Appleton.
Hey, Cindy, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. Welcome to Nightlight.
Well, here's my three picks. George Clooney, Russell Crowe, and for a woman, I can't remember her name, but the one that played Million Dollar Baby.
Hilary Swank.
That's it, Hilary Swank.
Wow, those are all good. What was... George Clooney was bad in what?
Ocean's 11.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, he's been a good guy in a lot of stuff, but he's been a couple, he's been villains in a couple of things.
I know. I was laughing before with our first guest, Brett. I said, you know, the more I think about it, most actors have this on their resume. They tend to flip around, but some are just better at it than others. These are great, though. Thank you so much, Cindy.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a great night. You guys can let us know, too. We've got some time left. And Ron will be deciphering this info for me. He's in the studio here with me, I should say. 855-752-4842. Who is an actor or actress that is equally as good, playing good or bad? So, Ron, tell me what being VP of WAMI entails.
I'm mostly doing whatever the president asks me to do.
So you have a boss, kind of. You're on the board, but you have a boss. Yeah,
sort of.
Did you have to get permission to be here tonight?
No, he trusts me.
All right. So what do you do? Like, is it a, I mean, you're a musician first, right?
Of course.
You're like this phenomenal drummer right here.
Actually, all of us are music fans first.
Okay.
Before we ever started playing, we were all music fans.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So who are your influences on the drums?
Oh, my goodness. Well, Ringo changed my life. I and many hundreds of thousands of other guys that took up the drums. And, oh, gosh, when I was learning, I think the first records I learned off, I played all of the Creedence Clearwater Revival records because the drum parts are really straightforward. And then I graduated to the Steppenwolf Live album to play along to. And then I took a really big jump and hit Made in Japan by Deep Purple, because Ian Paice is not, you know, he's one of the big ones.
Wow. But it's funny you said that. Deep Purple, that was the first album I ever owned. It was an album by Deep Purple. It was called Machine Head.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and I probably played it 1,000. My parents probably hated buying it for me.
Oh, yeah, we played it on the old Railroad Spike record player up in our bedrooms. Where I had my drum kit, so my mom knew where I was, not getting into trouble.
That's a pretty good way to look at it. Yeah. So are you, all right, so tell us, what is going on with WAMI? I know you have a big show coming up, too.
Yep.
Award ceremony. Tell us a little bit about that.
We have our 42nd award show. So we've been around since the 80s. And for many years, it was centered in Milwaukee, only because that's where it was originated. But for about the first 25 years, shows were in and around Milwaukee. After that, some of us became board members from up here in the Valley, and we managed to have the show brought up here. And we were doing every other year till COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Everything changed with COVID. But we had been doing shows at the Fox Cities PAC. You know, our idea is, as a statewide organization, you got to get around the state. So to have shows in different parts of the state. So again, this is our 42nd show. It will be May 19th, which is a Sunday. And it will be right here in Green Bay at the Epic Event Center.
Very nice. That's supposed to be a phenomenal facility.
Oh, it's an awesome facility.
Let's pick up there. We got to do a quick bit of business here. Let's pick up there when we come back, because I want to ask you how cool that is for Northeast Wisconsin that the WAMIs are here, you know, especially coming up from Milwaukee. It's sort of I think that's a great thing. So my guest is Ron Books. He is the vice president of the Wisconsin area music industry. He takes orders from the president, from the commander in chief of the WAMI. But he is here with us tonight. We'll talk a little more music with Ron next, and we'll get to that Michael Bolton story. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Memories get in the way. I walk around, I can't hear a sound, folks talking loud, but I don't see at all. I gotta get away, gotta get away, I don't
know where to go.
It's hopeless, so I guess I'll leave it alone.
Well, I spent all that day fixing up to go somewhere.
The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Special Report. We're following breaking news on Capitol Hill.
The yeas are 77, the nays are 13, and the bill is passed.
The Senate has voted to pass a deal that keeps the government from partially shutting down this week. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Mr. President, I'm happy to inform the American people there will be no government shutdown on Friday.
Schumer credits bipartisanship for getting it passed. Correspondent Nicole Killian.
It would extend funding for some federal agencies through March 8th and others through March 22nd. The hope is by then that Congress can approve bills to fund the entire government through the rest of the fiscal year.
It's the same short-term spending bill passed in the House earlier today, which means it now heads to President Biden's desk for his signature. Again, Congress passing a spending deal now, averting a potential government shutdown. That shutdown would have taken effect tomorrow. CBS News Special Report. I'm Monica Ricks.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris will visit Wisconsin next week. She'll highlight the Biden administration's efforts to promote union job growth and apprenticeship programs while in Madison. The White House is not offering more details. Harris was in Waukesha County in January, part of a string of visits from top White House officials ahead of the presidential campaign. It's been more than a week now since anyone's last seen 3-year-old Elijah Vu from Two Rivers. His grandmother made an emotional plea at a press conference this week.
I want my grandson to be home, raise my family. So I want everybody to continue. Don't stop.
His mother and her boyfriend are in jail on child neglect charges. There's a $15,000 reward for information. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
The Todd Almaz Show.
I'm Trigvi Olson. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Almaz Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, a clear sky with a low in the low 30s. Sunny and warmer for tomorrow. The wind picks up a little bit. A high right around 50 degrees. And continued warming into the weekend. Mostly sunny and in the mid-50s on Saturday, and more sun around Sunday, low 60s and windy. Currently, it's 37.
The Todd Almaz Show.
Green Bay's a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Almaz Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for The Todd Almaz Show.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weikert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Max Inc. Radio invites you to a live concert each week over the radio. It's Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Saturday night. It's a full hour of live music and in-depth interviews with the artists. Listen across Civic Media every Saturday at 9 p.m. and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Some good texts. Sherry says, pardon me, I got something going on. I got some throat issue here. Sherry says, Jimmy Stewart, that's a great one too. He was almost always a good guy though, wasn't he?
Most of the time.
I mean, if It's a Wonderful Life is your most devious role, that's you're pretty much a Boy Scout. Bruce Dern, Padre, I hope I'm getting this right, Padre Boncaliani, LLC, okay, it's a business name, says Bruce Dern. Bruce Dern is just a phenomenal actor. All the way around, well-rounded. He was in, what's the name, the most recent, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He played this old filmmaker who lived in a commune, and he was so good. He looked, at least in the role, he looked near death, and Bruce Dern is pretty old, but he is just like a great everyman, and he's played some leading roles too, but he's a phenomenal actor. He's a great answers tonight, as usual. Ron Books is here. He is the vice president of WAMI, the Wisconsin Area Music Industry. Ron, you said you're the vice president. You do have a president to answer to. Let me ask you this. In a moment of crisis, are you ready to assume that office?
If that's what it takes.
But you're not like looking to take him out and pull like a Tonya Harding or something.
No.
Okay. Okay, so you were in the middle of telling us about the awards ceremony coming up here in, is it May, right?
It's in May.
Okay.
Yep, on the Sunday the 19th.
And is that open? It's at the Epic Center. Is that open to the public?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and everything we do in WAMI, we're really interested in music fans in general. It's about the music scene in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That we're trying to elevate. We're trying to recognize the artists that are doing well, recognize excellence.
Yeah.
And certainly to, we have other programs, seminars, those sorts of things. And we have some scholarships too.
Oh, nice. Now at the ceremony, you have bands performing too, or is it just awards? Walk us through that a little bit. What's the night like?
Well, we usually have about 7 or 8 performances. Okay. We have a WAMI Hall of Fame where we usually induct three musicians or three performances.
Nice.
from the state of Wisconsin, which is a rather prestigious list.
There's some great bands from here.
Great people from Wisconsin.
Who's in the Hall of Fame?
Al Jarreau was one of the first people.
I love Al Jarreau.
Liberace is from Wisconsin.
Yeah, nice.
Hildegard, the queen of the nightclub circuit.
Okay.
World famous. Let's see. Of course, the Bodines were in it long ago.
Bodines, love the Bodines.
Short Stuff.
The Violent Femmes?
The Violent Femmes have been in for years, of course.
Excellent.
And, of course, let's see. I'm trying to think of some. Some of you here in Northeast Wisconsin probably remember the band Soup, which was quite well known around here. Doug Yankus was a brilliant guitarist.
Cool.
Certainly Les Paul is in it.
Oh, yeah. Can't forget that one.
The King of Waukesha.
Oh, he's from Waukesha, too, as
Absolutely.
Are the Bodines.
Yeah, there's a Les Paul Center there in Waukesha.
I got to tell you, I was in college. It was like 1989, somewhere around there. The Bodines had just won the debut album of the year, I think, from Rolling Stone.
Love and Hope and Sex and Dreams.
Love and Hope and Sex. Phenomenal album. There's no fat on that album. It is just every song is so tight. And a guy comes into my dorm room and he says, hey, I got tickets to U2 tonight. Come on, come with us. The Rosemont Horizon outside Chicago. I was tired. I'm like, I don't know. But he's like, come on, U2. I'm like, all right, fine. $20 to see U2. The opening act, the Bodines. That was the night I discovered the Bodines and they became one of my favorite bands. I was like, and then they said on stage, they were like, we're from Waukesha, Wisconsin. And the place went nuts because it's so close to Chicago. And people just loved it.
Oh, yeah.
So I saw the Bodines and U2 for $20. I just went and saw Springsteen at Wrigley Field last summer with my wife and kids. It was like $500 for four tickets. And Springsteen tickets are cheap comparatively if you can get them, you know, through the
It's cheaper than a Rolling Stones ticket.
Yeah. Well, especially if they get to the ticket brokers, forget it. I think a lot of these artists get blamed for the high cost of tickets. And they are expensive. There's no question about that. But a lot of times it's the middleman gets a hold of them and just crushes it.
Well, you were lucky you saw U2 for $20. It cost me, I think, about $50.
Yeah.
And I saw them at down in Madison.
Oh, that would have been fun, too.
It was.
This was the Joshua Tree tour, so it was like their, third album, maybe fourth. It was so great.
Yeah, I saw the Zoo TV tour.
Oh, yeah.
Which was very cool.
I went to that one, too. That was a great tour as well. Yeah, that's when they got crazy with the lights, and they added so much.
I love the Trabants being used as spotlights. The European cars, the headlights were being used as the,
nice.
The spotlights.
Yes, okay. I gotcha. I'm not a tech guy, Ron. I don't... I would be nowhere near your board, and you'd be happy not to have me on. So that's in May. It's open to the public. How can people get tickets if they want to attend this night?
If they go to the Whammy website, which is whammy.org,
They
will be able to obtain tickets. Okay. They are not on sale yet.
Okay.
But it's not a very expensive ticket. It's always very reasonable. We usually have 7 or 8 acts, the Hall of Fame induction. And then, of course, there are about 35 or so presented awards for different artists around the state. So
very cool. What is the Wisconsin? What is the music scene like? Would you say nowadays in Wisconsin? Is it thriving? Is it
well? It's not bad.
Okay.
Parts of Wisconsin are better than others.
What parts?
Actually, here in the Fox Valley and Green Bay, it's pretty good.
Really? Nice.
Yeah, it has been. It's been coming back since the COVID situation.
Okay.
Midwest has always been a good place for music. We've had so many bands that have originated in this area and in the Midwest itself. And I can tell you that and maybe it's a years ago kind of thing, but... we all used to go see bands. That's what you did.
Yeah.
You know, you got out of high school and there were lots of places. Of course, here in Wisconsin, we had beer bars at one time, which became taverns later when they passed the 18-year-old law. And
what's the difference there between a beer bar? Like,
well,
how do you mean that?
Taverns would be where you had liquor.
Yeah.
And you had to be 21.
Right.
But there were all kinds of beer bars where kids could go once they were 18. And you'd have lots of live entertainment at those places.
Oh, nice.
That's where it was happening.
I remember I got grandfathered in when I was 18. I could go to the bars. I was still in high school. I didn't drink yet, but, and my wife, who's 6 months younger than me, the law didn't apply to her for some reason. She had to wait till she was 19. Like, that seems like nothing now. You know what I mean? But
they went from 18 to 19 to 21, and all of the full-time musicians became part-timers after that. It had a devastating effect.
So tell me a little bit about your background as a musician. What bands were you in? When did you get your start?
Oh, my goodness. I started playing when I was in college. I think the first show I ever did, I was in high school yet. I was 16 years old. My parents let me take the car for some reason because they knew I was going to do it anyway. So I threw a drum kit in it and went over and played a gig at a VFW somewhere in downtown Menasha. And then, of course, I went to school and you did what you normally did. You had a rock band in college. And being in the music department, I used to play polkas on the weekend. That was always a blast. And then after leaving school, I, you know, decided to do it full time. So I played the blues. I've played country. I've played rock. I toured a bit. Never got famous, but, you know, was a good supporter of restaurants and hotels and gasoline stations.
And I'm sure you had a lot of fun, too.
Oh, I mean, I ate a lot of bad food, too.
Yeah. I was a stand-up comedian in the 90s, and there was almost like a, you know, you're kind of brothers with your other stand-up comics,
sure.
Just how musicians are with other musicians, but there was definitely a connection between, because oftentimes there would be a comedy show, and then a band would go up, and so you'd just be talking to the musicians, and it was just all that nightclub scene. It was so much fun.
Well, some of the best times were where other bands would be staying at the same hotels.
Oh, yeah.
And usually we'd get together with guitar after a show, and we were just all hanging out and playing and having a good time.
That's so great. I just thought of another was Butch Vig, Garbage.
Oh, sure.
The Know-It-All Boyfriends. What was it, Killdozer, some of those bands? Yep. Any of those bands in the Hall of Fame?
Some of them. Butch Vig is in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
As a producer.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, that's
yeah.
not surprising.
He's done well for himself.
He's got pretty good credentials.
Yeah.
Good street cred.
That's such a great, like when I was doing stand-up in the 90s, I was based out of Chicago at the time. Madison was one of my favorite towns to work. I didn't know much about Madison until I started doing stand-up comedy, and I would work a club there, and I had no idea all those years driving to Madison, I was going past the Smart Studios, that little hole-in-the-wall building on
right
East
on
Washington.
Yeah.
And Nirvana was in there, and Smashing Pumpkins and Jane's Addiction or whoever it was.
Yep.
That was all happening there. And I was like so mad I didn't know that at the time. Not that I would have done anything, like invited myself in, but
some of the best recording studios are not all that impressive on the outside.
Yeah, I guess.
Go to Detroit and look what they did over there with all the Motown stuff.
You know, it's so funny you say that. I was there for a buddy of mine's movie premiere about 5 months ago. I went to Detroit with my son and I said, all those years I did stand up and went to Detroit, I never went to Hittsville, USA. And I said, I'm going to the next time I'm in Detroit. Well, this time I go to Detroit, I get lazy. And I still don't go. Like, I had a revelation. Like, if I ever get back to Detroit, I got to go see where Motown, all these great songs sure. were created. And I didn't do it.
Another great place, and I managed to get to it because the job I had at the time took me to that area, Muscle Shoals.
Oh, yeah. I bet. State is that in? Is that Alabama?
Alabama.
Yeah. Okay.
Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
Yeah.
And just about anything that everybody in the South recorded there.
That's so cool. Is it still standing? They have like a little museum there or something?
Well, the owner passed away.
Okay.
But it's still standing. Yep.
Very nice. Ron Books is my guest right now. He is the vice president of the Wisconsin Area Music Industry, also known as WAMI. We're talking about their award show coming up and his music career. When did you know you wanted to play the drums, Ron?
I knew I wanted to play the drums when I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan.
Okay.
Truthfully, my mother had me playing piano. My dad was a singer. My mother was a pianist, and she had us taking piano lessons. But when I saw the Beatles, I realized that was a lot cooler than playing the piano.
Wow.
At least I thought it was.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine told me once that the drummer drives every song, drums.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. What does that mean exactly?
That means we set the pace for everybody. Okay. Everybody in the band is looking at the drummer to make sure he's in the right spot. And if the drummer starts faltering, everything just falls apart.
No kidding.
Yep.
So is it more pressure when you're playing live gigs, or does it just become
second
nature?
No, you don't think of it. But when you think about it, you've seen a lot of concerts.
A few, yeah.
Talked about. At a concert level, you will never see a bad drummer.
Yeah.
They have been sorted out years before they get to that.
Yeah, totally. I want to ask you about Kenny Aronoff. Have you ever seen him play the drums?
Absolutely.
He's fun. He's a really fun drummer to watch.
He was playing with the Bodines recently.
He plays with them a lot. And that's where I saw him. And for the first time I met him, he was really, he's a really cool, fun guy to watch. All right. So when we come back, coming up next with more with Ron Books, I'm going to ask him what he's watching on TV because we're going to switch. I'm going to take you out of your comfort zone and see what you're watching, Ron. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Elvis, why am I wearing your class ring? Don't call you my liar. Cause now a partner's in crime. Don't be a baby. Remember what you told me.
This is The Shaw, WAUK. Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Vinson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think that King's Celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw at WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Welcome back. Got a few more minutes here of Nightlight. Tomorrow, my guest will be Terry Barr. She's always so much fun to talk to. We'll talk to Terry about what is coming on her show on Saturday night, Max Inc., which is always a great listen. If you haven't checked it out yet, I highly recommend it. My guest right now is Ron Books. We have a few more minutes with Ron. You said that anybody can vote for the Whammies. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, we have a category called People's Choice, which is where anybody can vote for the people that are have been nominated in those categories. There are sections where members only can vote, but the People's Choice has always been very, very popular. Okay. It's kind of like vote for your favorite band.
Yeah.
And it's divided into quadrants. We've decided to divide the state into Northeast, Northwest, Southeast and Southwest.
Okay.
So that we're trying to get around the state. Yeah. The Northwest is the hardest to cover because it's a long way away.
A lot of it. Yeah. Too. Once you get
a lot
there.
Of trees.
So how can they vote again? Did you get
if
a
they
website
go to or? The okay. website, which is whammy.org.
WAMI.org.
Yep.
Very simple.
And the first round of voting is open right now. The first round will be open until March 8th, and there will be a second round of voting where it gets narrowed down. So the finalist round will open on March 22nd and close on April 12th.
Wow. Okay. And are there little, like, can you listen to clips of bands?
Yes,
there?
You can.
All right. That's
nice. Absolutely.
That's great.
That's okay. One of the great features that we got going with it now. You can actually go in and play a selection from some of the nominated bands in their
based
categories.
On that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. Everything has to be interactive now, right? I mean, you got to involve people, and it's fun to do it that way too.
Yeah, know? It is.
Yeah,
it is.
What is your favorite venue to play in the state?
Oh, my favorite venue. Oh my goodness.
And we're on statewide, so it can be anywhere.
Well, some of them aren't there anymore, some of the ones recently, you know, here in the Valley, oh my goodness, Pub 55, years ago, oh gosh.
Where's that?
That's Kaukauna.
Okay.
That's a good spot.
Nice.
There used to be several of them that didn't make it through COVID. Country Bar out in Appleton. That's a rocking place.
It's called the Country Bar?
The Country Bar with a K.
Nice.
Certainly, when you get down to Madison, there's High Noon Saloon down in Milwaukee. There are some new places. Of course, Pauly's Pub is one of the medium-sized venues. There are some bigger ones, too. Shank Hall is one of them. And, of course, there's up here, there is this beautiful and wonderful Epic Event Center.
Yeah.
Which is just an awesome place.
State of the art, huh?
Absolutely.
It sounds great. That's really cool. So what? So you really didn't answer my question, right?
No,
you got a list of a whole bunch of places. Do you have a favorite one to play and a favorite one to watch at?
You know, my favorite one to play is the one that's full of people.
Okay. Spoken like a true musician.
It's so much fun to look out and see the people.
Do you know Frank Anderson?
I do not. I know of him, but I don't know
Appleton.
Him personally.
Yeah.
Yep.
You guys should pal around because you live in the same town. I'm
okay.
Setting you up for an awkward friendship.
Hey, we're all in the same boat.
That's right. And he's a great musician, too, and a great filmmaker. He's on the show periodically. All right. So we just have a couple minutes left. Ron, what do you, when you're done with your whammy duties and playing music, what does Ron Books watch on TV?
Oh, lately, Resident Alien.
Oh, no kidding.
On Sci-Fi. Oh, yeah. Alan Tudyk.
How is that?
That's great. No, it's excellent.
Are you into that genre anyway?
Or... No, not really.
Okay. But... I love shows like that where I don't. The Walking Dead, I'm not a zombie guy, but I started watching it and I loved it.
Yeah.
Same type
I
of thing with
watched
Resident.
That, but, you know, I kind of watch whatever my wife's watching. She likes some of the FBI shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't typically have that much time to sit there and watch them. But, Resident Alien has been a real.
And you like it.
A real hoot lately.
All right. Is it a comedy?
Comedic
elements to it?
Yeah, there are comedic elements to it.
Okay. What about the Oscars? Have you seen any of the Oscar films?
I have not.
No?
No, okay. I usually wait until they come around on TV and
then you only go see the winners.
Yeah, that too. Well, you know, date night every now and then, sneak out to the theater, but I can't remember the last time we did.
Well, all right, so we have... Ron, his whole life is music. He's the VP of WAMI, the Wisconsin Area Music Industry. He's a musician himself. We never got a chance to celebrate Michael Bolton's birthday on the show, and we tried to the other day. So, Conrad, we have kind of a different way of honoring Michael Bolton, and it's from a movie. So let's play that scene now.
Let's see. You are Michael Bolton?
Yeah.
Is that your real name?
Yeah.
Are you any relation to the pop singer?
No, it's just a coincidence.
Vic, I'll be honest with you. I love his music. I do. I'm a Michael Bolton fan. For my money, I don't know if it gets any better than when he sings When a Man Loves a Woman.
But you must really love his music, huh? Yeah, he's pretty good, I guess.
Damn right he is.
Right.
So tell me, what's your favorite song of his?
I don't know. I guess I sort of like them all.
So, Ryan, I'm the exact same way, but it must be twice as hard for you being have the same name as him. I celebrate the guy's entire catalog.
That's our guy, Michael Bolton. He had a birthday this week. Kristen Davis had a birthday this week. We didn't get to that clip either, Con Man.
We'll have to get to it tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll get to it tomorrow. One final text here. This is from the 608. Oh, this is Carla from Baraboo. Pete, this is your new leap year tradition. Go see it. After 4 years, what did I not see? The next leap year, I will. Oh, man. This gave me kind of a brain teaser to close the show on. Carla's too smart for me, Conrad. Your Aunt Carla, I can't. She's just too much of an intellectual. Carla, that's awesome. Thank you for the text. Thank everybody for the text and participating in the calls. Cindy from Appleton, great to hear from you again. I'd like to thank all my guests tonight. Brett Kissinger, check out his books on Amazon. Joe Farina, Dennis Farina's son, who was nice enough to come on and talk about his dad today on his dad's birthday. Great to catch up with Joe. And Ron Books, an actual vice president in the studio tonight. That was fun having you here.
It's always good to do it live.
Yeah, I agree. Spoken like a true musician. This is Peach Wobble. We'll be back tomorrow with more Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
I want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my bird.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.